Well, welcome to Faith Church's 2022 Easter Sunday celebration that we joyfully refer to as Resurrection Sunday because it's all about the resurrection. On this day every year, we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We celebrate Him and His resurrection from the dead. And because of this event so long ago, we have hope today. Why does His resurrection provide hope? His resurrection proved that everything that He said about Himself, God the Father, and even the afterlife was absolutely true. He was who He said He was, the Son of God, the Lamb who comes to take away the sins of the world, the risen Lord. And if we can believe these things about Him, that He died for our sins, that He rose again, and we invite Him to be Lord of our life, we can be born again. That's what Scriptures tell us. In fact, the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 10:9, "If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved." We commonly refer to this process of salvation as being born again. You've all heard the term, I'm sure. But have you ever thought about what it really means? Why do Christians use the term born again, referring to the salvation process to becoming a follower of Christ? Today I want to briefly look at that reason that we use this strange phrase and then show you its importance in regard to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 3. A very famous passage in Scripture, though most of them are famous after 2,000 years. But you should recognize it immediately. So in John chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Now the Pharisees, in case you didn't know, were the most religious people in the culture. They're the ones that kept the law, that did everything perfect. They're the ones that expected God's favor to be upon them. And when this life was over, they would walk into heaven because they were the ones that were perfect in every way. That's who Nicodemus was. And it tells us in Scripture that, and just in verse 2, that he came by night. That means though he was enlightened with God of the Bible, of the Old Testament, there was still a darkness that he walked in, and he didn't understand it. And immediately when Jesus talks to him, Jesus jumps right to the point. You're blind. You're in darkness. Here's how you really get to God. So let's pick up in verse 2. So this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we, being the Pharisees, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." See, Jesus just jumps right to the real issue here. Nicodemus was searching for God. He was searching, and by doing all the right things, he was searching, but he was searching in all the wrong places. So Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." So what is Jesus saying? Let me explain it this way. Jesus came to set up a new kingdom, a spiritual kingdom where truth, love, mercy, compassion, and freedom are commonplace. A kingdom where there are new rules of fair and righteous governance, ruled by a good, loving, and perfect king. where we can live forever in peace and safety and have rest from the evils of this life and this world. If it sounds a lot like heaven, that's because it is. It literally is the invisible, the kingdom of heaven that Christ mentions here is literally the invisible realm of heaven invading earth. Also called in the Gospels over 100 times, the kingdom of God. How does one really know it exists if you can't touch it, if you can't see it, if you can't hear it? That's why Jesus said it's like the wind in John 3 that we just read. With the wind, you can't see it, but you can tell it exists because you can hear it. You see trees swaying and you can feel it brushing your skin and your hair. There is evidence that wind is real, though invisible. And it is the same way with the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God coming down to earth. In fact, Jesus spent his whole ministry proving that the kingdom of heaven was real. In heaven, there is no sickness. Praise the Lord. There is no death, no suffering, no anything evil. And that's why Jesus healed and brought people back to life and walked on water and calmed storms with just a word and mended broken hearts and lives. Heaven had come down to earth and Jesus was proclaiming it. Jesus spent the majority of his time demonstrating that the new kingdom had come and it was more powerful than any earthly kingdom. The laws of physics in the invisible heavenly realm superseded the laws of physics of the earthly visible realm, proving that it was the real kingdom and a better one, I might add. And Jesus wants everyone to be a part of it, a citizen of it. The caveat is that the only way to get into this kingdom and become a new citizen of this realm is by being born into it. And that's what Jesus was telling Nicodemus. So the problem is a seemingly obvious one, and Nicodemus points it out. We can't be born twice, right? Unless we are reincarnationist. I don't even think that's a word. I made it up this week. But you know what I'm talking about. And we are not. Hebrews says in chapter 9 verse 27, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment." So what is Jesus implying? He must be referring not to physical death, a physical birth, but a spiritual rebirth. And that would make sense because the kingdom of which Christ speaks is a spiritual kingdom. And to get into a spiritual kingdom, you need to have a spiritual rebirth. Are you with me this morning? Physically, when we are born, we are birthed into a world, this world, where suffering is commonplace. There is death, disease, pain, tribulation, lying, killing, and oppression. Our bodies fail us constantly, as I was reminded of that this week. This is the world that we live in presently. It's tangible. We can touch it and feel it. However, it hasn't always been so evil. When God made this world, what did he say? He said it was good. And it was. So how did everything go so wrong? How did everything get so corrupted? Well, we can thank our first parents, Adam and Eve. It was their act of rebellion against God, called sin, that opened the door for all those things I just mentioned to come into our world, to come into this realm. Like a virus infecting everything it touches. And not only are those things bad that came into this world, But we humans have been infected with the virus of sin as well. The sin that brought all those evil and sad things into this world lives inside of us. We're born with it. Romans 5:12 says that therefore just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Because of the infection of sin, the Bible says in Romans 3:12 that we all have turned aside. That means that we all have decided what is right or wrong. We've all decided how we should live our lives. They all have turned aside, and together they have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. Then Romans 3:23, for all have sinned. Is that just some people? Some people sin? No, it means all of us have sinned. That means all of us have been infected with this virus called sin and fall short of the glory of God. And that's a problem. And so our dilemma is this. How do we go from being born into this world, infected with sin, and also being a part of the problem, to being born into the kingdom that Jesus came to set up? Can't we just declare, I'm in. I'm in. Count me up. Or can't we just work our way in by doing good works, like helping old ladies across the street, tipping our waitress a little more, buying socks for orphans? How about swearing less? Maybe if I swear less, I'll get to go to heaven. The answer is no, 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 and no. Jesus told us how we get into the kingdom of heaven. We must be born again. This, however, brings us full circle back to our original problem. How do we do that? How do we go from living in a flesh and blood world to being born into a spiritual kingdom and becoming one of its citizens? And here's the answer. We have to die so that we can be born again. Do you mean we need to willfully and physically die? Like jump in front of a train? No. Again, it's a spiritual act that Jesus is talking about. So how do we die spiritually? Well, we spiritually die with Christ. In Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. So what does it mean to die with Christ? The idea of being crucified and dying with Jesus, it emphasizes our union with him and with his death on our behalf. In other words, we trust in Christ's crucifixion as payment for our sin. As just a side note to this message, if you're unfamiliar with what it means to have Christ be our payment for sin, let me just spend a moment talking with you this morning. Why payment for sin? You see, when Adam and Eve sinned, they broke God's law, and they became lawbreakers. As a universal principle for any just society to exist, whenever the law is broken, there must be justice. There must be a payment due for that crime. When our first parents broke God's law, payment for that rebellion became paid due upon death for all of us, because we inherited their guilt. After we die in this life, we face judgment. And without something or somebody to save us, we face a second death that the Bible refers to as hell. Adam and Eve's second death sentence, called condemnation, hangs over every one of our heads as well. We're born condemned, is what the Bible says. So back to being crucified with Christ. Through this act of trusting in Christ's crucifixion as payment for our sin, we allow Jesus to take our sins upon Him and to bear God's punishment that should have been doled out for us to be doled out upon Him. And by doing this, the Bible says that we die with Him, that we are crucified with Him. But this is only the first part of the process of getting into the kingdom of heaven. Now we must be born again. And to do this, we also need to identify with Christ's resurrection. How is this accomplished? Well, this is where everything ties into the resurrection this morning. I don't know how God does it exactly. If you do, you can let me know and the rest of us know. But the Bible tells us that when we trust in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we not only identify with His death, but we identify with His resurrection as well. If we died spiritually with Him, then we also rose spiritually with Him when He walked out of that tomb on that first resurrection morning. You see, it was a new birth. Here's what the Bible says about Christ's resurrection, which is a type of new birth and our union with Him in Colossians 1:18. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, and notice what it says right here. The firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. And this next verse is what the Bible says about us being born again when we are raised with Christ spiritually in Him. 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us what? He caused us what? To be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And then, of course, there's this passage in Romans 6, verses 4 through 6. Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. And that's good news this morning. You see, when Jesus was raised from the dead, it was symbolic of a born-again experience. By the way, that's why we do baptisms, why we are immersed. We believe in full-body immersion in the church because it represents the baptism, the resurrection and death of Jesus. When we go into the water, we die with Him. When we come out of the water, we come out in newness of life. That's why we do it. That's why we're baptized. So when Jesus was raised from the dead, it was symbolic of being born again. When we put our faith and trust in Him, somehow, instantaneously, God enjoins our spirit with His. And we become partakers of His death and resurrection, and by default, citizens of the kingdom of heaven. We are then born into that kingdom that Jesus was talking about. The way we are born again is by dying with Christ and then being raised with Him. And this is why the resurrection is so important. If Christ only died but didn't rise again, it would not have completed the requirements needed to gain access to the kingdom of heaven. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. But because He rose again, we can be confident that we have been born again with Him, and thus doing exactly what Jesus said needed to be done back in John chapter 3 in His conversation with Nicodemus. And just as a side note, as we finish up here, all the actual work was done by Him. The dying, the rising. There's nothing that we could have done to fix our terminal situation. Jesus had to do it. We just need to believe. And here's the frosting on the cake. I like frosting. Maybe a little too much. frosting on cake, as if the cake wasn't good enough. You get the frosting too. Because Christ rose from the dead, we know that everything he said about himself, the kingdom of heaven, and the afterlife is true, as I already mentioned. The spiritual kingdom that we have been born into, if we have been born again, is also a literal kingdom that will one day touch earth in a visible way, according to Revelation. If you are here today and have not died and risen with Christ, you simply can't get into the kingdom of heaven. I wish I could put in a good word for you. I wish I could call up some of my friends and relatives that are up there. Hey, so-and-so is on their way up. Can you open the back door? It's not the way it works. It's not the way it works. The Bible says that being born again is the only way to have eternal life. Later on in that same chapter of John, Jesus makes the statement, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever should believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life, because they are in the kingdom of heaven." As we close, the truth is this. Folks, we have to die with Christ and be raised with him. That is the prerequisite for entering the kingdom of God. There is no other way. Good works and all the religious people you know, the money you give, it won't save you. And it won't allow you to get into the kingdom of heaven. It cannot. Those things cannot. Jesus Christ alone is the way, the truth, and the life. And his resurrection proves it. Amen. Let's pray.